Well, I was just curious, as we've come here today together, both our 9:30 and our 11 o'clock service, and I know we've got guests. How many of you have never come to a worship service in this room before? Let's just raise your hand if you've never been in to worship in this room before. Okay, so there are lots of you, so welcome. We're glad that all of you are here, and if you're a guest today, we especially say welcome to you. Hopefully you've had some time to fill out the communication card that's at the front of your bulletin. We'd love to be able to pray for you, to know that you were here. If there's any way that we can minister to you, or we'd love to be able to respond to you. So just fill that out, and at the end of our service, when we collect the offering, you just place that in the offering plate as it comes by, and we'll look forward to getting in contact with you and to getting to be able to pray for you this week. If you are just joining us, we are finishing up a series that we started several weeks ago called Beautiful Feet, and we've been talking about the idea that the Bible tells us that those who share the message of Jesus with the world have beautiful feet. So we've been looking at different stories that about the disciples and people in the New Testament who have gone out and done exactly what Jesus said to proclaim the good news of Jesus and what characteristics we can learn from them. And this week, as we bring it to a close, I can't think of a better passage to do it with than the one that we're going to read today, John chapter 13. If you have a Bible, I invite you to go ahead and turn to that passage. But let me set up where we are in the story. At the beginning of the week, Jesus came into Jerusalem, as we've been singing about and celebrating today, and he entered to shouts of Hosanna. And as the week went on, the shouts of Hosanna would change into jeers and curses, and the crowd that so easily praised him just a few days later would ask that he be crucified. And before that was to happen, though, Jesus had gathered with his disciples in a room. And it was not a house that any of them owned. They just simply went and asked if they could use this room to have the traditional Passover feast. It was the week of Passover, and so Jesus and his disciples were looking for a place to celebrate the Passover. So they went into this upper room to prepare. But there was something a little different than outside of the custom, outside of what would have been ordinary in this house. Because, see, the custom was when guests would come into your house, the lowest servant in the house would wash the feet of the guests, because in Jesus' day, people wore sandals and the roads were dusty. And so as they would travel from place to place, their feet would be pretty dirty. So it would be normal as you entered into the house that the host would have the lowest servant in the house to wash the feet of the guests. But in this particular place, we don't know why, the Bible doesn't tell us, Jesus and the disciples went into the upper room, and as they were gathering there, celebrating the most sacred feast of the entire Jewish year, there was no servant to wash their feet. Nobody had done that. And so they go through the entire dinner with dirty feet. Now, in order to get why this is so important, you have to sort of get out of your mind the way we sit and share a meal together. Because when we sit at a table, we sit in a chair and our feet are underneath the table. Our legs are underneath and you can't see them. But that wasn't how it was in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, what they would do is they would recline. They would recline on the floor on cushions, and they would spread out a cloth, and they would put all the elements of the meal around the cloth. And so when you were reclining at the table, people's feet were all around you. And so during this entire meal that we sort of, you know, you sort of see the picture of Da Vinci and it all looks so beautiful and perfect, and it didn't look that way at all. I mean, these guys were eating this meal with the dirty feet of their brothers sticking all around them. And I'm sure somebody during the meal thought, this is really uncomfortable and this is awkward. Somebody should do something about that. Have you ever heard that before? Somebody ought to do something about that. So our passage today comes from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and verses 12 through 15. John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garment and, taking up the towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Verse 12, when he had washed their feet, he put on his outer garment and resumed his place. And he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." This is the word of the Lord. I love this passage of scripture. I love it because I think it teaches us something, an important characteristic. Maybe the most important characteristic of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. To have beautiful feet practice selfless service. Selfless service. Did you notice in this story as Jesus is getting up to do what nobody else was willing to do? What everybody else had opportunity to do? What everybody knew needed to be done? As Jesus got up to do that, he made his way around, and I don't know in what order, but finally he got to Peter, and Peter said, "Oh, no way, you're not going to wash my feet." Isn't that the response that we would all have? I mean, Peter, after all, he understood who Jesus was. It was Peter who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter understood. This wasn't just any ordinary man. This was the Son of God, the Messiah. And so Peter said, "No way will I let you wash my feet." I mean, Peter may have been feeling, "I should have been the one to do this. I should have gotten up and washed Jesus' feet. So no, Jesus, you can't do it." And Jesus' response is very interesting. He tells him, he says, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can have no part of me." You think, wow, what a strong statement. Peter's been following Jesus for 3 years. And here, almost at the end of their time together, Jesus says, "If you don't let me wash your feet, it's all been a waste, Peter. You can't be a part of this." You know, following Jesus means that we have to be willing to allow him to wash our feet. See, those who have been served by Jesus are the most qualified to serve others in Jesus' name. How has Jesus washed your feet? How has he changed your life? Think for just a moment about maybe what the most difficult thing you've been through. The greatest challenge. Maybe for some of you it was a difficult situation in your family. Maybe you buried a child. Who is better qualified to minister and serve someone else who's gone through the tragedy of losing a child than one who has been touched by the healing power of Jesus to overcome that unbearable grief? Think maybe for some of you, you've been through divorce. And you found the grace and the hope that Jesus can restore and make all things new. Who better qualified to then minister and reach out to someone else who's going through the trials of divorce? I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. He said, "Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God?" You know what that means? That means in the way that Jesus has ministered to you, the way that Jesus has washed your feet is the way he's inviting you to serve other people. You see, the reason Peter couldn't have any part of the ministry is because if he hadn't first allowed Jesus to serve him, he had nothing with which to serve other people. I've been praying for many years, and many of you have been praying along with me about a recovery ministry here at Southside, because so many people in our community need that. So many people outside the walls of the church, inside the walls of the church, you know, addictions of all kind, whether it's alcohol, drugs, sexual addictions, eating, just all these things come back to a hole that's in the human heart. And do you know that sitting all around you today are people whose feet have been washed by Jesus? They've been made well. Their family's been touched by the brokenness of addictions. And Jesus has come in and made a difference in their life and washed their feet. And now they're reaching out to serve other people the way Jesus has served them. I was amazed to, as this group began to come together all around you, people like George Gipp and Dan Proctor, people like Heather Jones and John and Vicky McGee, Julie Branham, Yvonne and Richard Rice, Lewis Reddick, all these people that Jesus has washed their feet, and they've said, you know what, now it's my turn to wash somebody else's feet, because I know what it's like to have dirty feet. I know what it's like to sit around at the table and wish somebody would do something, and nobody gets up and does it. You see, here's the point. How has Jesus made you whole? What has Jesus done in your life? What is that point at which you know that had it not been for the intervention of Christ in your life, you would not be where you are today? That is the way in which Jesus is inviting you to wash other people's feet. At that point of your greatest shame, at that point of your greatest pain, Jesus says, let me wash your feet. Let me wash your feet. And then he says, listen, now that I've done this for you, you also should do it for other people. You see, it begins with humbling ourselves and allowing Jesus to wash our feet, but then it means we have to also become like him. He says, listen, I've given you guys an example today. If I, your teacher, have done this for you, how much more should you then be doing it for one another? This is how people will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another, if you serve one another. Following Jesus means that you're willing to humble yourself, to lower yourself. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 that we're to have the mind of Christ, who, although he was in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on human likeness in the form of a servant, and he humbled himself. And if the God of the universe would humble himself and wash the dirty feet of 12 ordinary peasants from the first century, what do you think he's calling us to do today? To wash the feet of other people. That's what it means to follow after Jesus. That's what it means to serve people, to care for them. You see, the words that we use as Christians matter. I believe that. I believe we should tell our story of what Christ has done for us. And I believe we should share with others the story of God coming, so loving the world that he came and he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We need to share those words. But if we don't back those words up with a living, fleshly example of what it means to serve other people, nobody will hear what we say. People need to hear the gospel, yes, but they need to see it. They need to see it in you, and they need to see it in me, and they need to see it in our churches. They need to see selfless, sacrificial service that backs up the beautiful message of the gospel. Because it is the gospel in flesh, in your flesh, and in my flesh, that convinces them of the truth of it. You know, Peter, who was among the first disciples, Jesus called to Peter. He said, Peter, come and follow me, Peter. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then 3 years later in the upper room, Peter hears Jesus say, listen, I have done this for you and I've set an example for you that you should also follow. At the end of Peter's life, as Peter is an old man, he's shortly before his own persecution and death, Peter writes this to the church. Here's what he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you have been called, Christian, church. If you're here today and you're a Christian, he's talking to you. He's talking to me. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might, what? Read it with me. Follow in his steps. See, beautiful feet follow Jesus. They follow in the steps of Jesus. And what does it mean to follow in the steps of Jesus? It means to humble yourself and serve the needs of the people around you. Do not think so highly of yourself, but with humility, consider the needs of others greater than your own. It says in Romans chapter 12. That's what Jesus did. That's the example he left for us to follow. And if you want to have beautiful feet, it's going to be hard on your feet. You see, if you follow Jesus, your feet will be scarred walking where others will not walk. If you follow after Jesus, your feet will ache with the pain of those who walk the road that's less traveled. Shane Claiborne wrote a book called The Irresistible Revolution. Maybe some of you have read it. If you haven't, I'd recommend it, but it's a dangerous book. And in this book, Shane Claiborne tells the story about how he was able to travel to India and spend some time at the orphanage founded by Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And Mother Teresa was still living at the time. And as he'd walk through the halls of this orphanage, he would frequently pass by Mother Teresa. And he said the thing that stood out to him the most were her feet. That her feet, which you could see through the sandals that she wore, were gnarled and scarred, and they looked painful. And as he would walk by her time after time and see her practically running from one place to another, serving the needs of orphans and meeting the needs and caring for the least of those in the city of Calcutta, he was just amazed at her feet and how painful it must be to walk. And finally, he asked one of the other people who worked in the orphanage, "Can you tell me about her feet?" And they said, "You know, Mother Teresa's feet look like that because for as long as she's been here, whenever donations of shoes would come in, she would allow everyone else to pick the shoes that fit them the best. And she would wear the pair that was left over. And she did it for years. And over the years, her feet became deformed and disfigured from shoes that were too small or inadequate. That's what it looks like to have beautiful feet. Feet that become scarred because they're selfless. Feet that are willing to walk the road that no one else will travel. Feet that are willing to walk in the footsteps of a God who loved you so much that he would give his life for you. See, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify not you, not your church, but your Father who is in heaven." Peter said, "Jesus has left you an example that you may walk in his steps, that people who never saw Jesus still see the activity of Jesus in his people." How beautiful are your feet? And as we come to a close, I would just ask you, who do you know whose feet need to be washed? Who do you know who doesn't know the message of the gospel and whose feet are dirty, and you can serve them this week? My challenge for you is, before Easter Sunday, how can you selflessly, sacrificially serve somebody so that they see Jesus in you? Identify that person. And before we gather in this room again to celebrate the resurrection, serve them like Jesus served them, that you may have beautiful feet. That night in the upper room, as Jesus took the bread and the wine before he washed their feet, he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Do you know that at that moment, from then on, whenever the disciples were together, whenever they would see the bread being torn and shared, they would think of the sacrifice of Jesus. But do you know what else they would remember? They would remember, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be the sacrifice. We're supposed to serve the needs of other people, that they might see Jesus in us. As Jesus took the cup and he said, This is the wine. This wine is the covenant, the new covenant of my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." And whenever the disciples would drink that, they would think about the blood that was on their Savior's face and on his body as he was led off to be crucified. And they would remember, this is the example he set for us, that we should follow in his steps and serve other people. I'm going to invite those of you who are serving communion to come on and take your places all around the room. We'll have people in the front and also in the foyer and up in the balcony. And as they come and take their place, we're inviting you, church, to come and take this small piece of bread that's been broken and to remember what Christ did. But more than that, to remember the example that he set for you, that your body might be broken for others, that they might see the gospel in you. And as you dip it into the cup, to remember the blood of Christ that was poured out and his invitation for you to sacrifice everything, that people may see Christ in the way you live, in the example that you set for them. Will you pray with me? Father God, we give you thanks for the example that Jesus left us, that we might be able to follow in his steps. Lord, the simple invitation to come and follow Christ results in a sacrifice. It results in a selflessness in us. And yet, God, I would confess, and I know many here would join me in the confession, that I'm so often consumed with my own needs, my own wants, that I very often miss opportunities to selflessly serve the needs of people around me, to show them the example of Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for speaking the words of the gospel, but not embodying it in our flesh. And Lord, as we, your church, come and take this communion, may we remember what you have done for us, and may we see it as a pattern that we are to follow. And as we share in this communion, may it be with a resolve and a commitment on our part to live like that, selflessly, sacrificially, that others may see the gospel in us. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.